Oh, no. Right. Stage left.
Welcome to the Town of Bolton Board of Selectmen, Tuesday, August 5th, 2025, 6:30 p.m. at the Town Hall and Zoom. I'd like to call this meeting to order. And first, we're going to go do the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of
States of
America
America,
and to the
to the
Republic
Republic for which it stands, one nation,
one nation, indivisible,
indivisible,
with liberty
liberty,
and
and
justice for
justice.
all.
Pledging?
All right.
Put that in the baby book, the first pledge. Yes.
Public comment first.
Okay, is there any public comment out there? I don't see anybody, so there's no public comment. Next is four, new business.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move that we open the addenda to just to do an addition or correction on item 4A.
You're making a motion to add
And
discussion to public location
to modify item 4A.
to add a discussion to change the location as
Correct.
well as time. Is there a
Sorry, could
second?
you clarify what you're asking for, Bob? I didn't.
Matt, before, well, they want to, the request was for a change of time and but also location. And it doesn't read and location.
Oh, I see.
I want to add the or and location.
Okay.
Sorry about that. I should have made it clear.
Thank you. That's good. Second?
Is there a second? Is there any all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. That's six yes, and Mather Clark is absent.
And who seconded?
Pam Sawyer?
Pam. Yes, okay. So 4A, discuss and possible action on changing the public voting hours and location for this coming
For the rest of the fiscal
referendum
year.
for the rest of the fiscal year.
Mr. Chairman, we
Yes.
have been joined by our registrars and moderator. I have that title correct, Ms. Mary.
Sure. Something you
yes, definitely ready for this moment. Okay. I'd like to recommend, please,
Yep.
on the issue.
All right. Who would like to speak on behalf of or all separate?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for, hearing us. I know you got a busy schedule. So, two things on the agenda. The first one was to reduce the voting hours, and that's allowed by the state statutes and by our town ordinance to, be able to do that, to change them. They can't be any less than 12 o'clock noon until 8 p.m. And that's what our request is, to go with the minimum that's allowed, because we did not budget for this many referenda, and we want, we need to, basically save money, because what we did budget for was approximately $5,585 per referendum, and that includes labor, ballots, programming, meals. And what we did with the actual cost to date, we've been able to reduce that by about $790 per, $790, which is reductions in the cost of food. We cut back on that. And we also been programming the tabulators in-house. I figured out how to do that in consultation, with our printing partners. And if we can, and so that takes the cost down to about from 580, 5,858 to 5,053. And with this request to change it to noon to eight, there's additional savings, with that, and it drops the total cost down to about 3,770. So, Sandy, if you wanted to.
Yeah, so that's a net savings with the shortened hours, from the actual cost of 5,053 to 3,770 of $1,283. And as we're on referendum six, with no guarantee that referendum seven will not occur, I think it's going to be a minor inconvenience to some voters who are in the habit of voting prior to work, but we only have about 65 voters per hour prior to noon. Most of our voters come in the 3 to 8 p.m. range anyway. So there's about 300 of our about 1,100 voters who would be inconvenienced by a noon start.
And again, it's purely just because this is dragged on for so long and we just, it just wasn't budgeted for. And I think people also just need to start understanding there's consequences both to asking for budget reductions and for keeping, you know, this going, you know, as long as it is. I wish there was something else to do with it, but it's like I said, it's just not in our budget. And the other part of our request was to move the location. And we looked into two, and the reason for that, it's very simple. It's just too, it's too hot for all of us poll workers over there. The temperature is never lower than about 81, 83 degrees. And it's usually up in the upper 80s to 90 by the time we close. And this is despite all the insulation that Jim Aldrich put up on the windows, the portable air conditioners in there. We just look at the thermometer on the wall. And the poll workers have not complained, but some of them have gotten close to having heat exhaustion where we have to go and ask them to go sit in the, you know, sit in the cool ways, sit someplace else and put cold water on yourself. And they're all like, we're all in our 70s and 80s, you know, myself included. And we tell our other citizens here in town to come to a cooling center, and we can't even do that for, you know, the poll workers there. So that's the main, that's the reason to ask for the change of location. And we looked into the high school using their common area, Dave Caruso and John B. were both very generous with their time to, you know, open up the place, look through it with us. And if we were earlier in the year, I'd say go with the high school. It's got better parking, it's easier in and out. But if we were to do it now and there's a seventh one, we'd have to go to another location because 2 weeks from the 12th, their school's open and they're using the inside of that area for meetings and so forth, training from staff. And I don't want to have to move to three different, you know, have to move again and further confuse people. So I talked to Bolton Congregational Church, Pastor Brandon there, and he said that, you know, it's our backup polling location anyway. And so he's amenable to our using it, and it's air conditioned as well. And it's much better for the safety of our voters. Parking isn't quite as good, but we can work around that with, you know, appropriate signage, and we can do curbside voting for people. You know, if they get confused as to where to park. I don't know, Sammy, if you wanted to add to that.
No, the curbside voting would be ideal in the little circle that's been recently repaved behind the town hall that approaches the back side of the educational building. It can be easily monitored through the windows by the assistant registrars or the people who go out in pairs to assist our voters who call in and ask. And there are a few who don't come with their cell phones, and we just look out and notice that they're out there and then go out to help them anyways. Parking for voters who are not handicapped, and we would use that circle area solely for handicapped voters. Parking for non-handicapped voters would be in the dirt lot farther down Bolton's Bend Road.
It is paved.
It is paved?
Yes.
Well, okay.
Not great. It's on the to-do list to get repaved.
Gotcha. All right. So in the lot heading down Bolton's Center Road Hill towards the farm, on the left-hand side would be the parking for poll workers and other voters. Poll workers, we typically have 6 to 8 cars for poll workers, so we would park in the far end of the lot. There is, I counted the steps today, and I forgot how many there are, about 8 steps.
They have a railing.
With a railing to get into the building, or you could walk up and around. we would use the entrance closest to the church, to Chandler Hall, for people to come in and walk through Chandler Hall in a straight line, and then come out at the far end, and then they could exit either through the end of the hall into the parking lot for all voters, or go back around and out to the handicapped area. The handicapped area is totally flat, so it would be not an issue for voters. And the restrooms in the building have been totally revamped, and they are all handicapped accessible. There are two.
And plus we have a kitchen for a break area for the workers.
Yeah, there's a kitchen for a break area, and the room itself is large enough so that we can take out an area and just demarcate it by tables and say staff only, and they can take their meals there.
Just to help with reducing any confusion there might be, we would need to go and put signs up. We can put signs up over at St. Morris just to remind people if they do go there that, guess what, you're going over to Bolton Congregational. And then I would ask that we also make sure that we send out in all the bulletins the change of location and times if we, you know, you guys agree with us to go down, you know, that route. Because it's going to be confusing for people, but I think we can, you know, minimize it.
Dan? Oh, I'm sorry. Are you done?
Yeah, I don't know.
Do I remember, though, that you had really convinced us that the handicap had to have, there had to be an exit, an egress for handicap? It couldn't be just one?
There has to be, into the polling place, there has to be a separate entrance and exit, which there will be.
Within
the actual hall where the ballots are cast, you will come in one way and exit the other way. The problem with this building is a handicapped person would have to come in through that door and exit through that door. At Chandler Hall, they will come in through the front door, enter, go down the short hall, enter the actual Chandler Hall polling area, exit at the far end of the building.
You have to make a long way.
And then come back down the exterior hallway.
That meets the letter that you were of the yes. Conditions that you had set.
Oh, so you can look. Yeah,
you can look inside.
The condition is that they have to have handicapped access. You have to have one way into the actual area where voting occurs, and another, you know, and another way out. You don't want to use the same way. So the flow is through. So we do meet all the requirements. The parking is not as ideal. That's why we don't typically use the place. St. Morris is better. But given, I can't put poll workers in there anymore. It's just not right to do. Or us. Well, we're included in that. That's the reason. You know, like I said, ideally, if we have to do this again next year, if I know this is coming, I would start at St. Morris. And when school's out, you could go to the school, because that's actually better than over, you know, at Bolton Congregational. But I just don't want to go there, school's in session, now we got to go someplace else. God forbid we have to do a seventh one. I hope we don't.
Could the poll workers, this is speaking outside the box thinking, could the poll workers park at St. Maurice's to save those 10 cars and then have them shuffled down here?
We could probably even park at Heritage Farm or something, a couple cars there, and walk over, shuttle back and forth. Yeah, that'd be easy.
That's fine.
The parking in the back of the building is also not used generally. No. Yeah.
So we could.
You're better off.
That's going to be needed to be open for handicap.
But you have.
No, you just.
But there's a ton of handicap parking behind it. That's interesting.
We typically only have one or two handicap voters at a time.
But
what
elders? I'm going to use the word elders instead of handicap.
That's a good
thank you.
Just because of stepping,
but
the quantity of steps in the back.
There's parking in the circle itself for around 6 or 8 cars.
Correct.
I don't think
tell you how close that gets, right?
What?
When they start parking in the circle.
The circle's bigger than it used to be.
That's true. Circle's a little bit bigger, so there's
some. And the island's a little bit smaller.
And I agree with you, you know, that the parking is not as good as at St. Morris, and it's not as good at the school. And I would keep it at St. Morris if we could get the temperature down, but we can't. And I don't know if anybody else has any other questions. This is not done blankly, because I know that it gets people confused.
We have this. We also have the issue of having some town folks who are really put off by having it held in a religious.
Yeah, which is why I was hoping we'd open the school as well, but I just don't want to do that.
But thank, and so I wanted to say thank you for crossing all those T's.
And in the future, I would, you know, we can, you know, well, we have to start before school's out. But if this happens again in the future and we have to do more, I would go from over St. Morris over to a school.
Gwen?
I'm happy to hear that somebody, maybe you, Russ, on your staff is able to do the programming now.
Yeah.
So is that going to be true for every vote that goes forward? No? Just
it will be true for any repeat referendum.
Oh, I see.
Because the question, as long as the questions stay in the same place, I can. We get a ballot from the vendor that does the programming for us, and they charge us $750 to format the ballot and
$40 to ship it to us for approval by email.
And
by email.
Yeah.
And so, as long as I don't physically move where those little ovals are, I can use a PDF editor, change the date, change the dollar amount. And as long as those two little ovals don't move, we're good. But I'm not going to try this with, like, say we have the municipal election in the fall. It's a much more complicated ballot, and I'm not going to even attempt that.
And
this is something they're working on at the state. They plan to do anyway in some ways to avoid this cost, is to just allow the towns to just reuse what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't worked it out officially, but since I knew they were going in this direction and I could do it, I just said, screw it, we're just going to do it. The only drawback is it still shows an old date on there. On the screen, on the tabulator. But it's no different than the way we used to do it with the older machines. They had a bogus date in them of something like 1900 or something. We had to write on the tape what the actual date of the referendum was, because we reused the programming over and over. So this is really the same thing that we did with the old machines, is reuse the existing programming and just change the ballot appearance.
Thank you. And my other question and comment was, I noticed that the ordinance actually requires the hours to be noon to 8,
yes,
unless the election is connected with a town or a state or federal election. So, but the selectmen can change that. And I don't recall us as a board saying what we're going to change those hours to 6 to 8. So should we have been doing that, and should we be planning to do that now in the future?
I don't. Did anybody get a hold of choice?
Well, we did set the time. The board, when we first set the referendum, it was suggested, and the board set 6 to 8
for the first one,
and for everyone after
said,
that was part of.
You set all the dates at the same time.
Yeah, we set them every time, and
we did that this year. We said for the next 5 referenda.
Well,
I mean, because I don't remember that. Maybe we set the first one, but I don't remember. I'm just saying it's something I think we need to pay attention to, because if we should be making that, if we should be making that designation every time, we should do it. It's an easy enough thing to do.
We would actually ask that we just change it to be 12 to 8 indefinitely. At least, you know, the minimum is for this fiscal year.
Well, then we'd have to change the ordinance.
Well, the ordinance does say noon.
But that's only for referenda that are not connected with a state.
Well, that's all I was referring to, for referenda.
Elections have to be state or federal elections. have to be 6 a.m. to 8.
Yeah, we would just like to do this going forward because it's a cost reduction. You mean if,
for just budget referendum?
Just budget referendum, yes.
Amanda?
Thanks. I mean, I think we have to do it. My only comment would be how we communicate this. I do think that we need good signage on the doors. And I think the signage needs to say that due to budget constraints, as a result of not passing a budget, the hours have been adjusted per our charter, right? Because I can anticipate people saying, one, why is this happening? And two, how do you have the authority, right? And so I think that we need in the signage that gets posted probably at St. Morris, because I'm assuming people will go there, right? Accidentally, I think we need to be very clear about those two things, and also in whatever, you know, message goes out via phone, email, the bulletin, we need to be very clear about how and why we're making these changes. And same with the location change, I would say, due to, you know, the hot weather, just so that we're very upfront and get less complaints.
Yeah, and we're allowed to do this, Amanda, by state statute.
Yeah.
I think it's section 7.2, if I recall correctly, and then the ordinance is enacted.
Yep.
So, is there anybody else?
Yes,
Liz.
And do you want me to say something? Or?
Well, okay. So, for this referendum, the notice has been put in the paper, and it already states where it's going to be and what the hours are, and that essentially is a contract with the town per town attorneys, and we can't change that. That's what it is. That's already done. As far as the future ones, that's a different story. Essentially, we're not discussing this referendum.
Well, did you
at this
check
point
with the town attorney?
I did have a long conversation with him. This afternoon.
Our lawyer at SOTS, Secretary of State, said to check with the town attorney. They washed their hands of it.
Right. Liz and I had a conversation with him this afternoon, and he is of the opinion that because of the posting of the legal notice, with it being in the paper, with it being on a bulletin board, with it being on a town website, and on the signpost outside, that we cannot make those changes for this referendum.
Which changes?
So you're telling me that the town attorney has told you that you're going to make town employees work in a building that has heat standards well above the OSHA limits when we have an alternative emergency location available?
Because we are allowed to change the location
with
the registrar.
We have to consult.
According to him, it's with the agreement of the town clerk.
No, I'm not going to have the poll workers go there, and I refuse to work there.
I refuse to work there as well.
So you will not have
to. It's 80 degrees when we show up in the morning, and it never gets below that. And it's 90 degrees when we leave there and pack up at night. I think you're being extremely unreasonable.
Because you will not have an election.
This is not about me. It's not about me making a decision.
Oh, it's about us driving
a decision. It's about having a conversation with the town attorney regarding the legal aspects of this decision.
And I object, Jim, that you had that conversation and did not again include us.
And
because we're the ones who brought it up, and you basically again go without consulting us and then say, we didn't talk to you, but here's what we decided without
the Board of Selectmen has not made any decisions. This is a fact-finding mission so that they can make the best decision possible. So, you know, my responsibility to them and to the town clerk was to check with I understand where you're coming from. Well, you know that we
concede to the hours. I will not concede
you know
to
that,
our patient.
You know that we've tried.
Let Jim speak.
Well, you know that we've tried very hard to help with the temperature situation there, and it's not about, you know, anybody being wrong or right, but we felt it was important to get an opinion from the town attorney after we got the email from the state election people. So I reached out to him, and that is what he said. I haven't had anything in writing from him at this point. I'm just laying the facts out.
Tim, what ramifications exist for going against the attorney? What recourse would occur and from whom? If we were to change the location after posting, you know, we posted the location to the church, but, you know, the current location, now we're, if we changed it, what would happen?
The issue, to me, the issue is, would the result stand? I mean, this would it jeopardize the result, whatever it is, whether it fail or pass? That's, you know.
But we don't have a written opinion either.
And well, here's the other thing too. The registrars can, in an emergency, move the polling location if the polling location is not available or usable. And it really is not usable from a safety of the workers' position. We've had people came in and complained to us and said, "You want me to call OSHA? You shouldn't have people here."
Well,
so
the clerk hasn't heard anything about it. She was just notified today. She should have been notified quite a while ago. Liz?
I spoke with Liz last week.
And I told you that, sorry, I'm going to speak, but I did tell you that the notice was posted.
Correct.
And we have a legal obligation.
We notified Liz last week in writing, too, so she knows about it. So it's not like she has not been consulted.
And it was already posted. Pam, you had your...
My understanding after reading the statutes and my belief in that the registrars have the right to move the location, that if it is deemed emergency, it would qualify. And I think would cover the issue that Bob Morris speaks of in having it interfere with the possibility of conflicting result. Question. The hours, I think, are my looking at it because those are posted. It's not an emergency. So therefore changing the hours doesn't, in my view, qualify because it's been posted to be able to be changed. So I would say that the town would have to put out extraordinary measures to notify voters through the multiple systems that they have, whether it's emails, the phone, emergency management
bridge,
that it could be done that way. That doesn't reach everyone, but I think we would consider putting signage, if we're going to go in this direction, as an emergency change, put emergency signage out so to be seen at the firehouse, at Nacho Municipal, on other signages. And post something at St. Maurice's very clearly the day before, the day and that day, so that people are more aware. But I don't believe we could change the hours.
Well,
when I was supposed to move?
6 a.m. to
8
p.m.
And 30% of the votes come in the morning.
And, now if we could get into the discussion of disenfranchising voters by changing it when we have $22 million budget, or however much the budget is, it would say that we're going to save $1,000 or something. I think would be a very hard sell and would be wrong, but I'm going on the legal aspect of it already being posted. It's going to be unpleasant for these folks to move everything, to change everything, to change their system. Please, Ross. But it comes down to the validity of the vote. But I believe as an emergency measure, you could change the location. There's no emergency to change the hours.
Amanda's had her hand up for
makes sense.
I think.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Sorry, trying to unmute. So I had a question for Liz. How many days are we, like, what's the lead time we're required to post a notice within?
The minute I get the question, I have to post the notice. And I got the question and the notice got into the paper or got emailed to the paper right away. It said right here in Carter.
Which was how long was that before the vote?
How long before the vote are we required to post in the newspaper?
The finance committee, as soon as I get the question from the finance committee, I go ahead and I send an email to the Hartford Courant to ask them to post the notice.
So what was that time frame? Like when did you
request? I have to go and look at the notice.
Like, was it a week, 10 days?
Yeah, it was right after the meeting last
week. It was within a day.
The question is, when was the finance meeting?
I gave the finance
day after the referendum.
Okay. And then Thursday,
they got, the Hartford Courant got the notice.
Yeah, I dropped it off with Cindy.
You can't get published, obviously, until Friday. So Friday got published.
So I guess my question was, like, how long before the referendum are we obligated to post? And do we have sufficient time to post a retraction? Because that would keep us within legal bounds.
I believe the state statute says five business days.
Okay. So it's in the adoption of the budget, section 8.5, point B, number 3. Reads that the finance committee shall give the town clerk written notice of the question to be voted upon at least 5 days before the date of the annual budget referendum.
Okay.
Absentee ballots shall be available not less than 4 business days of the date of the referendum. Legal notice of the referendum shall be given when written notice of the question is received by the town clerk. I get the question and right. I immediately notify the paper to put it in.
Right. But it sounds like based on the ordinance, we're only legally obligated to give 5 days notice. So in theory, we are within a window in which we could repost a retraction saying that we are changing things.
That's the minimum that you could have is 5 days.
Right. That's all I'm saying. The minimum. And it doesn't say business days. It says 5 days. So that would include Saturday and Sunday as well.
Business days.
It says business days?
Yes, it does.
Okay, so then we are outside. We would not have sufficient days to,
no,
because
correct.
It would be.
Good.
Okay, that's all I wanted to just make sure.
It's always not business days. Yeah.
And then the other thing I would say is, yes, the basically according to, you know, state statute, the secretaries, or the registrars rather, can change the location if there's an emergency. I would just make sure you're citing like the forecast as the emergency, because at this point, right, I mean, I was just looking at the forecast to make sure it looks like it's still going to be in the 80s, right? Because if it was going to be in the low 70s, our emergency goes away, right? But it does look like it's going to be in the upper 80s. And so we just need to make sure that we're very clear if that is what the registrars decide to do, that we are citing a source for where we are, you know, finding that emergency.
Could we beef up the, I'm sorry,
go ahead.
So I agree with Pam on this, that I do feel like the poll workers should not have to suffer through a 12-hour day in those conditions. 16-hour day in those conditions. And I do feel like this would, I haven't read the statute about that allows the registrars to change location based on an emergency, but I would say this is that heat should definitely be fall into that category. So I would definitely support changing the location. And the reason I was asking Liz for how long between when she gets the notice, when she posts the notice and when the referendum is, there could be, that's a pretty long time. I don't know, 10 days or something like that, where another type of emergency could happen. You know, it could be a hurricane. It could be a lightning strike, something like that. So there's got to be that flexibility by the registrars in order to change the location. And I don't think that anybody's going to be shocked to hear that an un-air conditioned or poorly air conditioned site is being changed, because people have been, if those who have voted in all five referenda would know how difficult how hot it is in there. I also wouldn't have a problem changing the hours, but I would go with whatever the majority feels about that.
You're up.
Okay. On the hours, we, quite frankly, I think changing the hours now would be almost a slap in the face to the electorate, who's, you know, basically the pros or the cons have put huge effort to be there. And I think it's important that if we've said it, and that should remain the same. There's been some good arguments made on the location, and I hadn't really considered making that move, but I'm still listening to the arguments. Shall we say, I can be convinced either way, but not on the hours. I think if you want to guarantee a loss, change the hours for this one, guarantee you'll lose it. I think it's imperative that we keep the hours, and even if it costs a little more, it costs more, and everybody should be aware of that. But I think
I just want to say, I don't think it's an argument. I think it's a discussion about the facts that they've collected.
Can I say an argument?
And the facts that we've collected, so that the board can make a good informed decision here.
No, we could always, you know, when you're talking about the cost, which you bring up very valid points, and I applaud your efforts to try and find ways to trim the best you could certainly have from the first one and pared down to the number of employees and so on and so forth. We could post outside the door how much this referendum will be costing, so people can read it on the way in or on the way out.
In big numbers.
And I would want a town attorney.
I'm not sure you can do
with that because it's affecting the vote within 75 feet of the poll.
No, I'm not sure you can do that.
I would disagree because it is public knowledge. It is not saying vote yes or no, but this vote, this the cost for this referendum is such and such. That is a legal point. It's not. It's public, piece of public information. So it's not saying make this your last vote.
So just one question: at this point, I'm more concerned about the temperature than I just talked to Sandy, you know, and Mary. We're more concerned about the temperature than the hours. And I, like I said, I would concede the hours. I can't ask those people to go back into that place again at that temperature. I looked on Weather Channel, says it's going to be up in the upper 80s, close to 90.
Mr. Chairman, at this point, we've heard from the registrars, we've heard from the board members present, and
not all.
Mr. Chairman, I apologize. I was going to make a motion.
Tim.
Oh, no, I think Pam's logic tracks, makes sense with regard to, and the information that we heard with regard to the location being able to be changed due to an emergency. I think that seems sound. And I also agree that the emergency doesn't impact the hours. Unless it were in that location, then it would impact the hours. But if we're moving location, then, and it's already posted with regard to the hours, I don't think, since we're in an air-conditioned location, I agree. I would be in support of moving the location but keeping the hours.
So,
unless there's information I'm unaware of.
Jim and I were having a conversation earlier today, and we can possibly rent an air conditioner that we can put in there that's much bigger than what's sitting around there now. Are we still thinking those lines?
My only concern is
right. We
don't know how well it will work.
Right.
Well, you know, for under $2,000, we could rent a 5-ton air conditioner and get it hooked up. I just don't know. It's a large space and it's not easily heated or cooled. It is heated. It's heated well, but it's not cooled at all. And we've tried a lot to try to cool it off, you know, and, you know, I took money out of my own pocket on the hottest day and had somebody buy you guys popsicles and bring them down there because I felt bad for you, right? I get it that this is untenable, and I know that we've even had one or more poll workers, you know, get ill because of this. And so this is nothing about, you know, being against a change. So I guess that would be my only reservation is,
so could
we could do it. I don't know how well it would work.
Couldn't get the fire department to bring their cooling trailer down there? That's what it's for. Right?
Well, all that does is give the poll workers a break area.
I only know that we're through 5 votes already, and the voters are really up in arms, and to pull off a time venue change is just going to look like, in my eyes, it's not good. I mean, but I'm only one. So if somebody wants to make a motion, I'm game for whatever you want to
do. State there will not be an election in that case. We will not have registrars.
Okay.
It's very simple, because I'm not going to ask people to go there if I don't feel comfortable going there myself, and I don't.
And we have we believe we have a plausible solution.
Yeah,
Amanda's got her hand up.
Oh, go ahead, Amanda. Sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, it doesn't make sense to spend more money when we're already short on money to rent the AC. So while that's a potential solution, I don't see it as a good one. I do think that we've heard 4 people on the committee say that they're willing to move the location and not change the hour. So it seems like we have a majority there potentially. And I would also say, I mean, I guess a point of clarification, do we need to change the location and leave the hours the same, or do we just let the registrar of voters change the location? At this point, we've said that according to state statutes, they have that right. We can just say, we've heard your concerns, and we understand that you are allowed to do this at your discretion.
Question.
I believe that because of the contract that we have, if I'm thinking on this on the legal term, Amanda, that it would be behoove us to have it come from the Board of Selectmen. You understand what I'm saying? And because
if we're comfortable with it, that's fine.
It's right at the 5 days, business days, and this evening. Or right at the precipice. And I think if we deem it an emergency in concurrence with the registrars and the change, and that we put an all-out effort between the registrars and the town offices to notify the townspeople. That's my thinking.
So we would just make a motion that it's an emergency.
Yes.
That's it. Not changing the venue, because it's up to the registrars to do that. Is that correct? The clerk and the registrars.
I would be clear and say that we would accept a change of venue.
Change in location.
Let me make a motion then.
So how do we?
We'll put it out here and see what
happens. Yeah. Okay. Flies. Go ahead.
At this time, I would make a motion that the Board of Selectmen approve on emergency the
declaration.
Declaration that the venue for the upcoming budget referendum on the 12th of August, right?
Yeah.
I have the right date. Will be a change of venue because for health standards, health reasons. And it will be moved to Chandler Hall.
I'm going to know the address.
226, possibly. And that it will be, and that there will be significant signage at both the former location of St. Maurice and the change, and the new location at Chandler Hall behind Bolton Congregational Church.
Second. I second the motion.
Is there any discussion? Mike, go ahead.
Very briefly, yeah. I can see where we are. I was in that building. We all dealt with it and had people in it. And that location the change of it having an air condition, and I checked it's going to be pushing 90 that day. That's the forecast. So it's I would have to concur that for health emergency health basis, it be moved to that location.
It's 228 Bolton Center Road.
At 228.
Is that the hall or is that the parish?
I think it's all one.
We all have one address there.
So do we need to repost in paper?
I would.
I mean, it's another $700 out the window.
No, it's not that. I think we should.
And, you 70? Know, yeah. 70.
When Ross came to me this afternoon to share this information with me, we had already worked out some really good ideas about public notification. So once you guys vote on this, if this becomes the decision of the board, we will continue to work together to make sure that public notice is as robust as we can make it.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Six yes, one absent.
Mr. Chairman, I have one final comment.
Yep.
I do not believe that chastising Mr. Rupert for doing his job and going to the town attorney that works for the Board of Selectmen was appropriate. And I'm going to support both Mr. Rupert and Mr. Fournier on their efforts to try and get a legal answer because of the tightness of the time.
Thank you. That moves us on to 4B, the Board of Ed bid waiver. And thank you all for coming. For Bolton High School HVAC emergency management system upgrade.
That's informational purposes only. There's no action required by the board.
Is that because it's a Board of Ed decision?
The Board of Ed decision.
Yeah.
Budget.
And they just have to notify us of the way
they have to notify us. Okay. For the record, I will tell you that I would not be in a position to sign off on the purchase order for this $410,000 expense.
Say that again, Mr. Rubin.
I said, for the record, I will share with the board that I told them that I would not be in a position to sign the purchase order for this $410,000 expense anytime soon. They will have to wait until we collect some significant revenue.
So this project was supposed to be done during the summer?
Which is, they've already said they can't even.
It can't be done
now. They can't do it.
Thank you.
So they don't, the statement in this about enabling time in the upgrade to the HVAC system prior to the school starting, that's not even relevant now because it's not going to be started.
They've had a conversation. John Butcher-Mulvis has had a conversation with them. They can't even start until sometime in September.
Okay. But that's the basis for the bid waiver, is timing?
A bid waiver is really based on, this is the only contractor that submitted a bid for the first half of the project. And so they're the ones who are most qualified at this point to do the rest of the work. Nobody else even seemed to be interested in the project.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Mm-hmm. Then we're moving on to ongoing business. There's none shown. Number six, appointments and resignations.
I don't believe we have.
Number seven is correspondence. Do we have any correspondence? No. Nope. Number eight, approval of minutes from July 29th.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we approve the minutes for July 29th, 2025 for the AP meeting.
Is there a second?
Yes, sir. Oh. Well, I thought Amanda's hand just went up.
Did your hand go up, Amanda?
I no, but I was going to raise my hand, so.
Okay, so you're
top. I'll put my mouth shut. Go ahead, you can raise your hand.
Did somebody second?
Not yet.
Go ahead and I'll second, fine.
Okay, Amanda seconded.
But I have a discussion point. So that meeting, I was actually there on time. It was another meeting that I was late.
It was the previous AP meeting.
Yes, it was one meeting. I showed up at 7:15 thinking it was, But I was on time for that meeting.
Is there anything else?
No.
Is that it?
I think
I'm sorry. I think she had just missed the vote to open the agenda. So that's why I had to mark that she
was so just then it would be 602.
602.
What not did 632.
I'm sorry. That's my mistake.
No worries.
Yes, you were only a minute or two late.
But okay,
you,
perfect.
I just wanted it to make sense on number two where it said A. Gordon absent.
Yeah, makes sense.
That's all. But thanks. Thank you. Thank yes, you. I need to correct that time.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Abstain.
It's five yes, one abstain, and one absent.
Tim abstained.
Thank you. Reports and updates? I don't have any. Well, there's our new budget report. It's kind of early to come up with anything on that. Is there any questions on that?
I did have one, and I'm going to try to remember what it was now. Then while she's thinking, might I interject? I just wanted to report on how things are going at Indianapolis Park.
Do you want to report on it, or do you want a report?
I'd like to hear from any government officials tonight because they have this week.
Well, I can give you some information if that's helpful.
Is Ms. Flynn is ready?
Oh yeah, yes. I just noticed on the property insurance, it looks like we've only paid about half of that. Is that just because the bill comes out at a strange time, and because it's $159,450 budgeted, and
I'm trying to find the line.
It's about I don't know. It's not quite halfway down.
On which side?
Oh, property insurance.
There was one. I mean, is half of that paid in one month and half in another month, or?
Well, it's normally all paid for the beginning of the year. You're looking at a different page than I'm looking at.
This
and different pages.
This one.
You're looking at. I'm looking at a different page.
Okay.
All right.
You're looking at FY 25, right?
Yeah, I'm looking at the page.
Yes.
Oh yeah, because FY25 is over. It should be.
So we've had an expense year to date of $108,653.
Does it all come in as one bill? Or is that?
It usually asking? Comes in as one bill.
So that would mean that they billed us for 51,000 less than we expected them to.
Roughly, yes.
Right. So that means, yeah. So that seems like a huge difference in what we thought we were going to owe for that.
Was that chunk, I guess, stuff that we carried over into next, like, yes.
That would be nice if it's just a.
Yeah, it's right now. It's showing a balance of and it unencumbered of roughly 51,000.
Mm-hmm. So I guess the question for Jill would be, is that or you, if you know, it was that part of the give backs that the Board of Selectmen already made?
Yeah, I think it was. I think that was one of Jill's early suggestions because we've already paid the bill for this year.
Okay.
So that's a budgeted amount for the next fiscal year.
Right. So we work off of estimates that are provided. We don't just pull a number out of the air. We actually ask for estimates. And we use those estimates when we're generating the budget and the budget request. So, you know, clearly we came in, you know, significantly lower than the initial information that we got from the insurance company.
So that was the 50,000 that you had mentioned in one of the deliberations with the finance committee.
It is.
Okay. That makes sense.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? Indian Knock Park.
So we've had, you know, a fairly warm and dry stretch of time. You know, it's not heavily used during the week. The weekends are very busy. We're having a real issue this year with hot weekends, with people leaving the park on time and moving over and parking at the boat launch and walking across the dam and re-entering the park. So we have asked our resident state troopers to start enforcing the trespassing rules. I mean, we've actually gotten videos from people who live next to the dam, and it is literally a line of people carrying coolers and lawn chairs and other such things. Trooper Contemptor reported recently that he had three other troopers with him on a call here in Bolton on a weekend. I believe it was a Sunday afternoon. After that call, they decided to go check the park. Since they were a group, they went as a group and they kicked out somewhere around 20 to 30 people that were in the park illegally.
Wow.
And so we've been working with DEP to try to get them to enforce this parking over at the boat launch and walking across the dam. We've gotten residents' complaints, and we've been trying to work with those residents to help resolve this. We've gotten them an emergency contact number for DEP, the NCON police, that they can reach out to when this is happening.
Who owns the dam?
Connecticut DEEP.
Deep owns that.
And what they're doing is they're crossing the dam, they're crossing the spillway, and then they're climbing either crawling under or climbing over the fence.
They're probably allowed to be on the dam any time of the night, right?
Well, it's closed at sunset.
Right. Oh,
I think except for fishing, it's right. I think it's posted as closed at sunset except for fishing.
Did we post something on the fence?
So that it gets ripped down again.
There was always one as when I was a kid.
If I would like to add to Jim's consternation he has with there, this has been an ongoing issue with DEP for, I would say, a couple of decades. It's that long. And their response has been as effective as today's. So, and it is one of the more frustrating things with a simple solution. They could work with us in truly gating that off, but they don't. And they don't have they don't have the personnel to come out to do anything. By the time you call, probably the closest person is an hour away.
There's only a handful of them. They're spread really thin.
Right.
There are a handful of
been consistent right along.
Two in the second congressional district.
And it's been, I'm so frustrated to see that our partners on this thing, DEP, has totally just said, just turned her head and have done nothing. And they literally have done nothing to deal with this issue. And it's not that it hasn't been asked by every administration for the last, I'd say, close to 20 years. So,
Amanda?
So one, I would say, have we asked our state legislators to use their influence with DEP recently? And two, have we considered publicly shaming DEP, considering in the last year there have been multiple deaths by drowning, unfortunately, in that lake, and that any future drownings would be on them should people be in that area after hours, right? I mean, like, we're not talking about something that doesn't have consequences here, right? Someone could fall off that dam. It is not safe. We've had bad publicity in the last year around this body of water. It's not playing nice in the sandbox, but I'd be willing to write an editorial.
Thank you.
I haven't done either of those things, but talking to our legislators is certainly a tool in our toolbox that I haven't employed yet. Right now, I felt like I'm getting somewhere with the EEP. You know, again, the response is less than stellar, but at least they're listening and they're trying to be helpful.
How wide is the top of that thing?
Oh, it's wide. No, it's wide.
Oh, yeah.
25, 60?
You could drive a truck down
there. Right.
Oh, really?
15 feet. Yeah.
Wow.
And it's meant as an emergency measure
right.
to be able to do that. And right.
They have a wooden swinging
the
and they I don't think DEP wants to stop people from getting on the top of the dam and using it to go fishing.
Right,
right.
It's when they cross the spillway that it becomes a problem.
Exactly.
And the spillway is not that far from the fence at the park.
No.
Is the fence located on Olton property or state property?
It is located.
Is that the issue then, that that DEP does not want to bolster a fence that belongs to the town of Olton?
Well, they should be stopping them from crossing the dam or the spillway.
Would a corrugated metal, a fence can be ripped down, a fence can be cut very easily, chain link,
we actually have the most robust fencing installed that you can buy as chain link. They can't cut it.
No.
Okay.
They're pulling it up and climbing under it, and they're climbing over the top. If you go over there, it's very clear.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what is the solution?
I don't know.
And we've talked about those solutions, Tim, with our fabricator who works at
somebody's got to have better ideas than me with regard to a non-penetrable fence or immovable fence.
So the problem is, if we make it impenetrable there, they're just going to go further down, or they're going to go in the water and go around the end of the fence. That becomes the issue.
Maybe.
And that's why my thinking is, if our resident troopers are available and they go in there after 5 p.m. when the park is closed, if we start handing out tickets for trespassing, maybe we'll get a negative reputation and people will stop coming into the park after 5 p.m.
Because it's going to be the same people that know how to get there. So
is there any drawback to doing it? I mean, that sounds reasonable. Yeah. You're trespassing on town property.
Yeah.
I know these are probably not the same people that are coming during the day.
No.
But what if we pass out?
We're also looking at doing wristbands. So for people who have entered the park legally, we're also looking at doing wristbands. And some of these changes won't happen until next year.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. We're too far into the season.
We're also talking about extending the hours and potentially, you know, but that means hiring more help.
Yeah, extending. Moving the hours might work, but not extending. Amanda?
Are we able to set the fine for that trespassing?
No, that's according to the state police.
Okay.
They have a ticket book that tells them how much that is.
So
I want to say it's $95. It's not insignificant.
So at the end of this dam, there's a spillway. And why do they need to get a vehicle on the dam? Or is it just wide enough to do that?
Before the spillway is the shut off, the water shut off for the dam opening and closing when they have to and they have to service it.
So I think your question, Rodney, is at the end of the dam, why would they need to access the spillway? Perhaps a fence could be at the end of the dam before the spillway.
Or a 6-foot guardrail, 6-foot high guardrail. Yeah.
They're already climbing a 6-foot high fence that's on top of a 3 or 4 foot high concrete wall.
Right.
With their coolers and everything.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So how was that going to stop?
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I think there's a big hole in the fence to climb it through. I don't
typically
like that.
They pull it up and climb under it.
Right. They climb on. Okay. So,
or they climb over it.
If they can't even get that far, that might be the first deterrent for
a couple of
girlfriends, anyways, that are carrying the coolers.
Get a couple of pythons from down in Florida and just kind of have them in. give these folks a nice friendly hug.
I'm sure we're not, again, we're, you know, Bobby said this has been going on for decades. We're not the only administration that's tried to solve this problem.
So
it's been an ongoing problem. There's been a lot of solutions tried. And, you know, what I don't want to happen is what's happening in the town of Salem right now. And that's been in the newspaper, right? There, they have so many people that are hanging out down there in inappropriate places, like at the boat launch where people are not supposed to congregate. And they have actually, the town of Salem has actually had to hire 4 state troopers because they're getting into fights. You know, it's rival gangs and they're getting into fights. It's creating all kinds of chaos. And the people who want to go there with their families don't even feel safe and want to go there anymore. And that's happening all day long, every day down there. For us, fortunately, you know, the daytime crowd, the people that are there who pay their fees to get in, we're not having those kinds of issues while the park is open.
So maybe we do foot post as many places as we can think of. The trespassers will be fined.
Yeah.
The property will be monitored.
Yep.
And have multiple signs made and someone on the town crew.
It can't hurt.
No. But you will be prosecuted or you will be fined.
And I do have a solar powered electric fence. I'm happy to share.
don't
think, and it's not lethal.
Don't think that conversation hasn't come up.
It doesn't harm you, but let you know that you shouldn't be here.
So I stopped in there a couple Sunday mornings ago, and it was kind of a rainy day, and the staff that was there was doing their job, and I started chatting with them, and they happened to be a family, and they were really speaking very highly of what's going on there, and they're very happy. So during the day, there's no problem, and everybody's happy, and the one guy that's there has been there for 20 something years, graduated from Bolton High School and worked there to go through college.
Oh, yeah.
There. So and we just got to make sure that he stays there.
No, that recreation facility is truly, it's a little gem in the town. And 99% of the time it's properly utilized. It's that's the other ones that just may say that coming across that dam or some one or two would sneak in, but now they seem to have no respect for anything. So
if the board would concur, I would like to ask the administration to thank our employees this summer in the full-time
rec
department who have put the effort into this to make it run as smoothly as possible, and to thank our resident state troopers also for their efforts in trying to enforce the issue.
Absolutely.
The only other thing I would add to that is that, you know, when we were talking about some of the issues with the trail for the Nathan Hale Greenway, you know, Gwen said something that resonated with me even back then. We were talking about the parking area that people were using between Munson's and Bolton Collision. One of the things you said to me is, you know, the more we get people to use it appropriately, the less problems we'll have with people using it inappropriately. And so we've been working really hard with our recreation director to look at other opportunities to use this wonderful facility to really to have it open, you know, 3 or 4 months out of the year is a shame, you know. Yep. And we just invested some, you know, ARPA funds into redoing the basketball court there. So we are really working hard on trying to find other ways to make more use of this wonderful facility.
I would like to say thank you to everyone for putting this under the highlights of the August meeting that Mr. Rupert has come up with, because that wasn't listed. But we ask other questions about that.
About what?
The highlight.
Oh, yeah.
We have to make sure advantage that that's what the question is.
That's number 10 on the agenda. We're moving on to number 10.
No, we were kind of.
We were there.
We've kind of been there.
The mapping of the cemetery is coming along. We have a projected date of when.
We should get. So what they've done is they've been there already. They've done the ground penetrating radar, and they've done the aerial imaging. And they said that they needed 2 or 3 weeks to give us a rough draft map. And they've done this at both cemeteries. So they are currently working on that. We hope probably next week that we will get a rough draft map from them.
Thank you. And the last question I had was about the second coffee and conversation. We've got a third one coming up this
Thursday.
At 5 to 7, is that correct?
Correct.
And I would just like to say thank you for putting that effort out to all who have participated from the community, but particularly from the elected officials.
I understand it's been pretty well attended.
Yeah, it's
probably 20 people here and 20 online or so.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's even more than I
somewhere thought. In there. Maybe 15 well, or but something. Still. But it's a
thank you.
Good size.
That's a lot better than those that come to the actual hearings on our budget. So I guess
so the plan was to have one every quarter. Mr. Caruso also wants to have one every quarter, but so you plan on at that, not the referendum thing.
Basically. Yeah.
Set the dates now. And the last little giggle was the Colonial Road cutting is complete. Eversource needs to fuck up the wood, and that will be complete. I think it was supposed to be pick up the wood.
Pick up.
I know it's fuck.
You actually cut the trees down.
They actually cut the trees down.
That's
so they had a, I guess they had two issues. First of all, we had a very wet spring.
Oh, yeah.
And that area was pretty wet and swampy. And then the second was they needed this special vehicle that they were going to use to get in there, and it broke. And it had to get fixed, and somebody else was ahead of them to use it.
Yeah.
So it's been a long time in coming, but I think we've finally gotten to the point where, you know, that is at least done to a satisfactory level. Well, of the residents. I haven't heard back from any of them.
One of the community residents I saw at a celebration of life last week, a gentleman who was one of the first to bring it up, and he wanted to say specifically how impressed he was at the responsiveness of the Board of Selectmen and the Selectmen's Office.
Good. So it sounds like he's satisfied.
Fine. Right. How did he vote?
That took a minute.
He does.
I do have one thing that I learned about today that I'd like to just make the board aware of, which I think is a good thing. You know, as I think most of you know, that Trooper Contenta is certified as a bicycle officer. So he, you know, from time to time, like when he works at Indian Knots Park, you know, he does that usually on his bicycle. He also from time to time rides trails here in Bolton. Not that he has any legal authority to enforce anything on the trails, because that's DEEP's territory. But just the presence of the officer being seen, and it's a great community outreach thing to stop and chat with people when they're walking or biking. So one of the things that is working on happening is that he is collaborating over the next couple of weeks with the Andover resident trooper, and they're going to be spending some time on trails in Andover and some time on trails in Bolton here over the next couple of weeks.
Okay. It was well received last year, the year before.
May I ask a question about something that's not on your report?
Sure.
The e-bike grant program that we talked about. There's been a lot of news recently about people having accidents on e-bikes, and I'm just feeling a little bit concerned about our plan to rent out these e-bikes, just what might happen. So I just hope that you, Jim, will work closely with the rec director in setting the parameters of that whole rental program.
I don't think it's rental, it's loan.
Yes,
it's no money transaction.
For now,
it's just loan.
But we will. And I, you know, one of the things I want to assure you is that part of the conversation is, so there is Class 1, Class 2, and Class 3 e-bikes, right? Mm-hmm. And I can't remember. I think Class 3, if I remember, will go up to like 28 miles an hour and does not require any pedaling. So we are going to purchase bikes that require pedaling. So you can't just, you know, get on there and ride it like a motorcycle. Mm-hmm. And the Class 1 and Class 2, my recollection is accurate, they have a maximum speed of 20 miles an hour, which you have to pedal like crazy to achieve. So I think, you know, if we, but by doing that, I think we eliminate some of those fears, but we really have to be careful and set the parameters and set the rules and make sure people are reading them and signing off on them. Very similarly to what we've done with the kayak program. So I absolutely, mm-hmm. I hear that, and that resonates.
And then the last thing I would like to ask is that what different possible grant requests are we going to look at as a board to, I know they're small grants, but to the Hartford Foundation grant program, the small grant one, we're at the next meeting, if you've got any ideas or board members have ideas, what small grants we could apply for.
small helps.
Have a comment?
20% matches?
In along the same lines, actually, what I was going to ask is, I'm glad that the Indian Notch discussion happened because it's such a resource for the town. And if anyone is interested, I'm interested in participating in just long-term planning on what the big picture could be over there. And so if there's interest from residents or board members, and Jim is willing to collaborate with ideas, because you know the inner workings of how grants work, which ones would be applicable, general costs of things, you know, we can come up with outlandish ideas and disqualify those and figure out which, you know, there's all kinds of space there. The baseball fields are now grass, wide open space. I mean, you know, there's plenty of examples of other towns with great facilities like Tolland with the, you know, the pond and the courts and stuff like that. So I've been thinking about it a lot. So that'd be, I'd appreciate,
we can hold it.
However it can help to get the ball rolling on long-term planning, not to happen next year, but.
Right now you have a group of staff that are brainstorming and collaborating. It would be great to get input from the public and members of the Board of Selectmen
have a community forum
into ways that we can better utilize the park.
That'd be great. I appreciate that. Just keep that conversation going.
Are you trying to get a splash pad put in?
No, water park.
Full water park.
And Amanda has her
hand. Amanda, go ahead.
Thanks. Sorry. I had a question about the status of the Notch Road Municipal Building and what's left to do there, and when. I think it's really just, there's a couple pieces still left in the ground. And then when do they think they're going to finish the wall, the exterior?
So I did get a status update today. I called them. They are working on collecting some prices for the balance of the reconstruction work that has to be done. They want to meet with me probably sometime next week to talk about where we're going to stop the grade, right at the building where the dirt's going to come back up to, because the waterproofing that goes below grade is going to be different than the waterproofing that's on the brick wall that goes above grade. And they've got to, you know, reconstruct, you know, fill in the hole where the door is and reconstruct that wall in an appropriate sense. They have received the plans for the ADA walkways, the ADA accessibility. They've received one quote for replacing the doors. They're anticipating a second quote. They've gotten a quote for what we would like to do with regard to getting air conditioning in those spaces. And they're getting ready after we meet and go over the preliminary plans for the ADA accessibility. We'll be looking to get pricing on that. So they weren't able to give me a completion date, but the demolition itself is done, except as you note, for those couple pieces of wall that are there. And the reason that those pieces of wall are there is because that's where they did the PCB soil remediation, and they had to leave the walls in place while they did the dug it out, and they had to get testing done to determine that we had no PCBs left in the soil that was exposed. And we did get test results back that are negative for PCBs at this point. So all the contaminants have been removed. I'll be able to give you a better answer next week than I can give you today, but over the next week to 10 days, we should be able to have a better idea of what we're targeting for true completion date. But demolition itself, as you noted, is pretty well done.
And sorry, thanks. One last part. What happened to the sign, the school sign?
Letter.
We saved it. It's there on site.
Okay, so we still have to figure out what we're doing with that.
Yeah, well, that's the
answer. Or does it have PCBs?
No. It was above where the PCB laden caulk was.
Thanks.
So when I saw you last week, when we were doing those interviews, we talked a little bit about how the what's going to happen with the hole. So how is that going to be determined? You know, is that going to be filled in? Are we going to be, we're going to leave it as a whole?
Does the board vote on it? Or is that an administrative decision?
Could we make this as part of the next meeting? Yeah, and get the questions to Jim, and then he can have time to get the answers to us.
So I know you said that the cost of filling the whole land
It's already part of the contract, right? And so it was really just, you know, trying to figure out how to best blend the grade in the front with the grade in the back. And they were asking my opinion about where to draw that line so they can get the waterproofing correct.
Oh, so...
On the existing building that's remaining.
On the existing building.
They got to figure that out before they can do anything.
Okay. But so it has not been determined whether the hole is going to be filled in?
I mean, we had included that as part of our contract in the beginning was to fill the hole in. And I think we're years away from being able to do anything on that site. And it just, to me, it doesn't make sense necessarily to not fill in the hole.
Yeah, I brought it up because one of the teams we interviewed was he brought it up and said, Jim, I need to talk to you about this.
That conversation hasn't happened.
Okay.
We started having that conversation today with Ty and Bond.
Okay, number
right. Oh, no, I've already looked for Stanford Rec.
Yeah.
I move we adjourn.
Number 11.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
That's okay. Six. Yes.
And good night. Good night. Good night, Amanda, baby. I hope she sleeps well.
Thanks. Yeah, there was, you know, a feeding in the middle of the meeting. Sorry, I had to go off camera.
Okay. And who seconded?
Who seconded? Bob Morgan.
I thought he moved it.
Tim moved. I seconded it.
Okay.
That was unanimous.
Thanks, Casey.
Thank you. Yeah. Have a great night.
Take care.
CBC is going to tell.